Hello, everybody. This is Stu Smith with the To Through and After series, and we're here with former Navy SEAL Jeff Gumm, who is now running an apparel company, and I'll let him explain a little bit about it, called Loudmouth Patriot, and you can find him on social media. I'll put all his links in the description below so you guys can follow him and see what cool stuff he's creating for us. But yeah, Jeff, so as you know, this program is pretty simple, not much of a format other than what you did before you were a frogman or special operator, because I'm not limiting it to just frogman. You're just my second guy to do it, and so far I'm 2 for 2 with frogman. So
nice.
So anyway, what did you do to get two buds, through buds? Let's hear about your bud story, because everybody's interested in, you know, enduring that challenge. And then maybe a little bit of your life in the teams and after the teams, what you're doing now and what's your future looking like for you. So let's start it off with, who were you, Jeff Gumm, before you were a frogman?
So I grew up in Lehigh Valley, Poconos area of Pennsylvania, played basketball, soccer, cross country and track, actually had something that kind of kicked off wanting to go be a SEAL. Was I had torn my ACL when I was 16. And all of a sudden I went from playing 4 sports in high school to like, I'm just in a brace, not being able to do anything. And I realized I needed like the biggest challenge to like really fulfill me. And I started kind of researching that. And then I saw like Navy SEAL was supposed to be the hardest thing to become. And so I was just like, all right, let's go. And started, you know, also did like cross country and track because I realized how important running was. Yeah. And then my senior year, 9/11 happened, and it just like reaffirmed even more like why it was really important to go and do that. And then, but I started really researching it. Also was keeping my options open. I was looking at Rangers and SF, and then I was like, I should go to college first, and then I always have something to fall back on after, and it also helped me just get stronger and more mature. So I ended up going to University of Central Florida and they only had Army ROTC, so I was like, all right, Rangers, SF, I'll do that, and did Ranger Challenge. And then after my freshman year, I went to Airborne School at Fort Benning, and just by chance, all my best friends there had just graduated from Bud's class 244, and these guys talked about all the water training they did, doing all the scuba diving, and I was like, you know what? Kind of my weakness right now is the water, and also San Diego. The way they talk about it seems a lot better than Fort Benning. I was like, you know what? I think that's what I need to go do, and So after I graduated college, kept in contact with them. And I was also, you know, looking at officer a little bit, but they were like, if you want to be a sniper, if you want to be a breacher, if you want to be a machine gunner, enlisted is the way to go. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, that's why I want to do that. Seems like some of the really fun jobs in the teams. So went to Navy boot camp. I had an incredible mentor, really helped me, Mike Gecka. Oh, yeah. Like every part of like, so Florida, Orlando, Jacksonville, Mike Gecka was running that. Corey Knowles was down in Tampa. I talked to him a little bit as well. He set me up with, because at the time the water was my weakness. I, you know, done swim lessons when I was a kid and everything, but you know, swimming 5.5 nautical miles in the open ocean wasn't anything that even just seemed like a huge challenge at the time, and I didn't want to have any weaknesses either.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I mean, you gotta focus on your weaknesses when you're getting to the training, you know, when you're, and I tell people that all the time, you know, when we say you got to focus on your weaknesses, that means doing things you don't like to do typically, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not a lot of fun, you know, when you're training. And also the fact that you knew people that have been there, done that, you're getting some mentorship going on. That's huge for your just mental preparedness for going in there. You know, a lot of people don't have that now with the new program of, you know, the SEAL mentor program. That really does help, you know, young enlisted guys, you know, who are trying to get into the pipeline, you know, move forward with a little bit more confidence, I guess. So, sorry, continue on. I just wanted to second that.
I think one of the biggest keys to succeeding in anything is having mentors there. Like now being out and start launching my own businesses and everything, I have like incredible business mentors and the Honor Foundation helping me through all that. So, and
that's awesome.
That was absolutely one of my keys to success through Buds and everything, because I had a lot of things go wrong and just health wise and injuries.
Right. Go ahead.
But yeah, my mentor, Mike Gecka, he set me up with a like former ranger who had a scuba program. So I even got like scuba certified just so I'd be a little bit more comfortable in the water. He set me up with some really strong swimmers. So I just started swimming with them all the time. My friend, he was going to university, or he had just graduated with his master's from University of Florida. I had just graduated from University of Central Florida, and I started training with him all the time. And he ended up being one of my best friends going through Buds.
Nice. And everything. Nice. Good work. So we got you, you figured out how to get to Buds, which was work on your weaknesses and, you know, keep that running foundation going and, you know, build up some strength to prepare you for what you have to endure. So let's talk about your story while you're going through Buds now. What happened there? I know you, you had some illnesses, some injuries that, caused you to get rolled, which by the way is not uncommon. You know, I was rolled in third phase for an injury. I mean, it kept me out of two classes. So I was originally 180 and I didn't graduate until 182. It was, you know, severe enough to, you know, I needed another cycle to fully recover. So tell me about your story, because I like it. When you were sharing it with me, I said, oh, we got to share this, because don't get down if you're injured at Buds. You know, medical can actually help you, you know, get better. But at the same time, you know, you have to, you know, push yourself even when you're borderline sick or injured. So let's hear your story on through Buds. What class were you?
So I was 270 at the time. A lot of people back then, you know, being younger too, they think 2 months is like a huge amount of time, and that like getting rolled or having to go through it again, it like a lot of people can't take that mentally. But I think, you know, being a little bit older and having college under my belt made me realize 2 months is nothing.
Like, right.
Just in the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely.
So I go through 270, everything's going great. Pass every run, every swim, every O course. I struggled a little bit in the drown proofing, and even the knot tying wasn't that bad, but drown proofing I passed, but I was like probably blue or green when I got out of the pool. People were like, whoa, you look super hypoxic, and it was miserable.
There are some events that no matter how prepared you are, they are gut checks. And some of them are gut checks with being underwater. Some of them are gut checks with just pure running, you know, but anyway, So we all have our gut checks, you know, when you're going through.
So everything goes pretty well though, for the most part, but then I get to Friday morning before Hell Week and we're just doing like an easy run. And the whole time I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on with my stomach? And I'm feeling it. But, we end up going, we have our mentor, this incredible master chief who's talked about stoicism and philosophy and you know, really putting things in perspective. And then, I just have to walk out in the middle of it. And I just start puking outside, go back in, drink some more water. I'm just like so thirsty, walk out again, just start puking again and puking again. And then this goes on for probably 45 minutes where I'm just like drinking water and throwing up. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? Like, this is the worst time for this to happen before Hell Week. And so I go into medical. They give me some IVs. It takes like three tries to be able to get the IV. They just keep missing my veins. And then, then I get that finally by night, I'm able to start drinking some Pedialyte as well and water. And then, just drink water like a little bit the next day. Finally, like Saturday night, I'm able to eat a little bit. And then, following day, I'm able to eat a little bit, but then Hell Week kicks off, and they'd asked me, they're like, do you want to, are you ready to do this? I'm like, absolutely. There's no way. Like, I'm not doing this. I'm going in 100%. Like, so I go in, and I think like the first night, everything's going well. For me, we get to Steel Pier, and one of the strongest guys in the class quits. And then like 23 mass, guys yeah. follow him right
the mass
there.
Exodus right after that yeah. usually man yeah
absolutely. And then you know, we keep doing boats, logs, basically surf torture, boats, logs, surf torture, boats, logs. And and all of a sudden it feels like we're running from like the chow out to do the 4 mile timed run. And I basically feel like the way like a football players get cramp on the field and have to get carried off, that's kind of how my quads were feeling. They were just cramping like crazy. But it's like
both of them too.
Yeah, both of them.
Not just one. So yeah, bilateral cramping is usually a bad sign.
Basically bit down as hard as I could and was able to like stay under the boat till we got out to like Bud's Beach. And then, but then we have like our little 4 mile timed runs in Hell Week. And I was just absolutely crushed for that. I was one of the last people to finish there. Nearly everyone behind me like quits after. And then my performance just goes downhill from there. We had started my class, we had like 270 going in indoc. We had like, I think 180 going into first phase. We had 100 going into Hell Week. And I don't know what's going on. I feel like I can't get my breath. Everything's just cramping. I'm like, what is going on with me? I'm like, and I knew who I was. I knew I was strong. I knew it must be like the illness that I had that was affecting everything. But I get like counseled a few times for my performance. And then about an hour from Wednesday, I'm performance dropped. They're just like, you're gone. You're not going to be a SEAL. And I'm just like, I will do anything to stay here. Like, you can go surf torture me right now. Is there anything I can do? And they're just like, no, there's nothing. Everything's put through. So then I'm like, I go to medical and I'm like, hey, something's wrong with me. I don't know what it was. I had VGE before, like run some tests on me or whatever. I know something's wrong. I know who I am. And then I end up seeing the stuff later. They wrote like, yeah, he's really weak or whatever, but nothing looks wrong with him. And then so I immediately call my mentor, Mike Gekka. He picks up the phone. He's like, what the heck are you calling me for? Like, you should be in Hell Week. I tell him what happened. He's like, all right, I'm going to put like calls through for you. I go and speak to that master chief that had he had spoken to us about stoicism and philosophy and like mentored us. And I tell him, and he's like, I'm like, this is all I want. I just got sick before. He's like, you know what? He's like, you're the type of guy we want that, even though when things go wrong, he still wants to go through, you know, even if they're sick or whatever. He's like, I'm going to talk to him. And then I go in and I have a meeting with the senior chief of first phase. And we go in with like everyone else who had quit that day, who everybody's getting ready. They're in their utility uniform, which was the Navy like working uniform back then. And they're all, everybody's going to XDiv. And I'm like, I had, you know, just seeing guys in XDiv wearing that, I was like, there is no way I'm ever putting that on. Like, that's the quitter uniform.
That's
so
good.
I put on my dress blues and went in there. And then after he talks to everyone, I'm like, Senior Chief, can I speak to you afterwards? And he's like, yeah. So then I tell him, I'm like, hey, I'm like, I'm 23. I've never failed anything in first phase. All these other people that didn't pass a single run or didn't pass a single swim or didn't pass an O course, like, they're all getting another shot. I just got really sick before Hell Week, and that's what caused all this to happen with my performance. I just need to be healthy, and all I want to do is start all the way over from the beginning again. And he looks at me, he's like, wow, you're the first person to ever walk in here after like that happening to them and wanting to go through all that again. So he's like, I'm going to speak to my instructor staff and go try to get you back in here. So I go out, I talk more to that Master Chief who you know was a mentor, and I call like Mike Gekka, and then he's like, come back tomorrow in your dress blues again. So I go back in there, and he's like, yeah. He's like, the instructors, they said with your performance in Hell Week that you shouldn't be able to start back over again. And I'm just like, well, I'm like, Mike Gekka knows me. He kind of thought I deserved another chance just to be healthy. And then this other Master Chief, he thought I should as well. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to speak to medical again and see what was going on. And so then I go back and everything got routed up and I was able to get back in. And now I'm like, all right, now I know everything that's coming. I've already made it through first phase like pretty easily. And now I know what's coming. So I go into the next class, but now I go from never failing anything to failing every single evolution. Maybe like I passed some O courses because it was just more technique than anything. Right. And the times are kind of slow for first phase, but everything else I fail.
Oh.
I fall out from under the boats the Friday before the first land portage we do. I can't even stay. And the way I'd always done everything in my other class, me and my friends always got together. We literally would count off, put the strongest guys together, win everything so we get more breaks. And then now we did that for that class, but now I like can't even keep up with these guys. And I'm like, what the heck is happening to me? Something's wrong. Like, and I get like counseled by first phase, and now I have the weekend. I'm like, all right, I'm going to recover. I'm just going to get like healthy. I'm going to like crush it this week. I go and we have a first thing to kick off Monday is a 4 mile timed run. I take off. First 100 yards, I'm like, this is it. I'm going to just crush this run. I'm going to be back myself. And then all of a sudden, it feels like I'm literally being stabbed in my thighs as I run. It feels like I have concrete blocks on for like boots. Everything's just – my previous class, which everyone that like makes it through, I was the 37th one left, 36th made it through Hell Week. The guys in there, all my good friends – they start like 5 minutes after me. They all like blow past me. They're like, come on, Jeff. And then like, nothing's working. I have first phase pull up on my right. I'm way behind everyone. Second phase is on my left. Second phase is talking to first phase. And they're like, what is this guy? What's going on with him? First phase is like, don't worry. You're never going to meet him. He's going to be out on the ship out there on the ocean. I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, damn, I'm like, my life really sucks right now, but I kind of looked at it, you know, lone survivor. The book had come out. I kind of looked at it like, you know what, if I'm surrounded by 100 Taliban or whatever, am I just going to like give up, or am I just going to keep going the best I can, even if I'm, you know, everything's against me? And that's what I'm going to do right now. So I finished the run. I get like beat at the end of it, having to do all these push-ups in the surf zone or whatever by myself. And then I remember walking up to the instructor after him, like, he probably thinks I'm going to quit, but there is no way. And I'm just like, hey, I need to go to medical. Like, something's wrong. I have no idea what it is. And so I go to medical. I walk in and I tell the doctor there, I'm like, hey, I'm not looking for an excuse. This is all I want. I'm not looking for a way out. I just need to get healthy. Like, this is where I was. This is where I am now. This is what just happened. I have no idea what's going on. Like, I had VGE, went into Hell Week. I put out as hard as I could, but all of a sudden I got super weak and I haven't been able to get better. And he's like, it sounds like you have this thing, rhabdomyolysis. It's like pretty rare. Typically only happens to people that get crushed in car accidents or earthquakes. It's where you have pretty much muscle waste, like, taking over your blood. Your blood basically becomes toxic with protein, too much protein. And so I go and I do I get like labs done on me, and then I go back and I'm with my class, and I just missed like the next land portage, and the instructors thought I like tried to hide from it. So now they're all like really mad at me, yelled at me. They like, at least, you know, they smashed my helmet or whatever. But then we go and we just have like some drown proofing, and I do like drown proofing a little bit, but it's just like practice. And then I remember it just, at this point, it seemed like all the odds were against me, and it, I didn't even really think it was going to come back that it was this thing that he guessed. I knew something was wrong, but it didn't even seem like it was gonna.
I'm surprised they didn't roll you right then with rhabdo, because that can be deadly.
Yeah, but they waited till the test results like came back to like confirm it. So then I'm in there and he's like, hey, he's like, Jeff, come up here. He's like, sounds like you got this thing rhabdo I never even heard of before. And really it was no one ever really heard of it before, but because everyone quits when they get it because they start performing so bad physically that it affects them mentally. And then so I end up getting convalescent leave, like medical leave. I'm able to go home and just like Pennsylvania, have my lay on the couch and hydrate and eat a lot, and it basically takes care of itself as long as you're resting and you're not in buds.
Nice.
So I go back and they still have me on light duty for probably like a couple more weeks, where it's just like working its way out, because I could still like feel kind of the cramping feelings and everything. And then all of a sudden I felt really good again, and all of a sudden I could run. And because before, even doing a chow run was like, I had to like focus so hard just on every single step you were doing. And now I could just, I'd be doing the conditioning runs and just be like zoned out, like having a song in my head or something, not even pushing that hard.
Right.
And so now I go into 272, and I'm used to my body not working. I've already done like, you know, a full first phase, half a hell week, and then did a second like first week of 271. And so now it's just like, it's kind of easy at this point compared to what I was used to, like pushing through everything with rhabdo.
Yeah.
Now I'm super healthy. Now I have like kind of a new technique I was doing for drown proofing, which made that easy. Like everything just seemed like easy at this point. And I remember we do the first like boats evolution, and they're running with me. I'm in two spot. And they're like, after like, I think 10 minutes, they're like, damn, Gum. They're like, damn, you look good. This was not like, so I'd run a 40.08 4 mile on my last,
wow.
When I had rhabdo, like the one right before I got rolled. And then I come back and it's like the second day of first phase in my new class. And I run a low 28. And I remember I'm in the top 10, and I come across the finish line and just like stare at all the instructors as I come across. And I'm like, look who's back.
I'm back.
I'm like, this is who I really am. So probably a record at Buds for like most time off from one run to the next, like 12 minutes.
Yeah, I would imagine. Man. Wow. That is, so the rest of Buds went okay. Second phase. Oh, hell week. Second time. Went okay, and then third phase.
So this was actually one of my biggest honors. Was I was super healthy, and in my second hell week, I'm just like kind of enjoying it now, because I had remembered such like terrible and like even like pretty painful and everything going wrong and having my like dreams ripped away, and now I'm just like laughing through it, and I'm like, wow, like this is totally different. And that like Master Chief, he'd been like, I go to him, I'm like, man, hell week's a lot easier when you don't have rhabdo, and just like making jokes. And it was pretty cool. The next class after me, he ended up speaking about like what happened like to me and how everything was going wrong. But I just kept pushing and pushing, and then I got healthy and made it through. And like him speaking about me to the next class and my friends that had been rolled, that's like probably one of my biggest honors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, that's another reason why I wanted to share your story, because that's that's exactly what people need to hear, you know, especially yeah. Some people that listen to this are fascinated about, you know, the whole mental toughness side of this type of training. I mean, yeah, you have to be in good shape and you have to prepare and make sure you don't have all these physical weaknesses, but really in the end, it comes down to that moment when you're by yourself and everything's going against you, nothing's working properly, and you just somehow find the fuel to keep moving forward. So yeah, that's a great story, man.
Yeah, really, at the time, I was like, why is this happening? Like, you know, all these other people are, you know, going through, not getting sick or whatever. But after I got through and it was like that, I was like, this was the greatest gift, to have everything go wrong and even have to go to not just being like tough or like mentally tough, or I had to even call on other kind of strengths of mine, like, you know, being able to go and talk to a senior chief and be able to explain why I deserve to still, you know, be in the program, being able to, you know, building relationships and with those like former SEALs, talk to them and then have them call in on my behalf. And,
yeah, that takes a level of maturity that, you know, not a lot of people have, you know, especially if you really start young, you know, with this process. I mean, sometimes talking to an adult is, you know, terrifying for a teenager, you know. So anyway, that's definitely a good skill to have, and then have those relationships built in, you know, as your support group, really. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I had gone through and everything had just, if I had just been healthy and, you know, being a good athlete and being mentally tough, like I wouldn't have been challenged to my core the way I was there. And now I have that for the rest of my life, no matter how bad things get or how unlikely it seems I'm going to succeed at something, whether it's business or whatever, I know, like, just keep going. And
absolutely. You know. I definitely think that's something we all learn, you know, by that experience for sure. So after Buds, I guess you did SQT and then went into what SEAL team?
Yeah, so then I went to SEAL Team 5, had an amazing group of guys there, had really awesome leadership, did heavy machine gunner, my first platoon, rocking the Mark 48. That was like really fun. And I led a mentoring class for like new SEALs as an instructor. And I always said, like, one thing everyone should try to be is like a machine gunner, your first platoon, because then you know, you still get to do little fams with it and shoot it otherwise, but to really have it and go through land warfare and go through like the urban warfare, you just get it's a very awesome experience. And then you have that for the rest of your life in the teams. If anyone ever goes down, you can pick it up and it'll just be second nature.
That's so a good skill. Good point.
I would suggest. Yeah. Yeah.
Good point.
And then, went to Iraq, in 2010 through 2011 with my team. And then, came back. I was able to do, I spent a lot of time really focusing on, like, and any spare time I had, we'd go out to the range and I'd really work on shooting like long distance. So then I was able to go back and I got sniper school and breacher school.
Nice. And,
cast master. So these were like really, yeah, amazing schools. I learned so much. And it was almost like a little reunion as well with guys I had been to Buds with, because they were kind of on the same cycle. So guys who had gone to the East Coast, and it was just like getting to see all your boys again. So that was
yeah, that's fun.
Really awesome experience. That's really fun. Yeah.
So after you were done with your SEAL career, what happened next? What made you decide to go into the line of business that you're in now? And was this your first business that you did? Did you do others that? Maybe you changed course and came to this one.
So about a year left, I was teaching combatives at Advanced Training Command. And about a year and a half before I was getting out, I like realized I was going to do it. I had hurt my back on my second deployment and kind of realized I wouldn't be able to go back to a SEAL platoon. So I did the Honor Foundation, and that's like the most incredible program. It's at UCSD, Rady School of Management. They really teach you how to tell your story, how to talk about the skill sets that you have from being a Navy SEAL and how it transfers to the private sector. They help you with LinkedIn and resumes and kind of show you a different industries. They really focus on the technology industry. So after completing the program, it's like 120 hours of professional development and executive education. We did a field trip to Silicon Valley, and I was able to tour like LinkedIn, Google, Airbnb, Facebook. And I was just really inspired, and I'm like, all right, I really need to launch my own thing. And my cousins had been really successful entrepreneurs in Florida, and I had seen, you know, them doing the different strategy and everything involved with it, and was really drawn to it, but I didn't really know what type of industry I would want to go into. And I had been to Brazil several times with the Gracie family, like did jiu-jitsu and went down traveling with them. And I saw everyone wore these, all the men wore these sungas down there, they're called. It's kind of Brazilian Portuguese for a Speedo, except right. They're kind of a hybrid between shorts and a Speedo. So they're a little bit baggier in the front. They're more of like a boxy, like cut.
Yeah, I see swim team guy. A lot of swim guys wear it, like swim team members.
Yeah,
almost like a drag suit, kind of. Yeah. They'll wear it over their Speedos. Yeah,
totally. So it's kind of like all the benefits of the Speedo and board shorts, but none of the weaknesses. So you can swim through the water way better. You get way better suntans, and they're way more comfortable. You dry off super fast when you get out of the water. But my favorite part about it was one of my favorite things is traveling as well. So I did like the East Coast of Australia over 24 days.
Nice.
Went to Croatia, sailed the Adriatic Sea, doing a yacht week with like a ton of friends. And, you know, if you go to Vegas and you're at a pool party or whatever, I kind of saw all the different reactions that girls get when you wear them. It's almost like an icebreaker. And they really like them. And I'm like, you know what? It's kind of been like a life hack of mine for the last, you know, probably 4 or 5 years or so. And now I just want to share this with the rest of the U.S. And I teamed with a designer, kind of reverse engineered the sungas that I had from Brazil, made more like patriotic designs on them, and launched it. And that was my first product, and got some sales and stuff. But then I was like, all right, going to keep like every couple months come out with a new product. Then I had like headbands, then I had like fanny packs. So you have like somewhere to keep your stuff when you're in a sunga, because there's not like pockets. And, right. And like, it was just like girls kind of, it's kind of like an icebreaker. It's funny. But it's also extremely convenient. So then I came up with the polarized and floating bamboo sunglasses, which are perfect if you're paddleboarding or surfing or boating, fishing, whatever. Yeah. So if your glasses fall in the water, they float. They're eco-friendly and sustainable, and came up with them. But then, and the brand at this time was called Sunga Life, like just kind of took the name of the Sunga and like the right. benefits from it and like applied it to the business and the lifestyle. But came out with these Patriot shades, which I took the same sunglasses and laser engraved these stars and stripes down the side, and called them Patriot shades, and started using different growth marketing techniques that friends that worked in tech had, and started kind of targeting people that follow veteran owned brands. And just on my, I had gotten some decent sales on Amazon with all the other products, but hadn't been driving much traffic to my website. But after I started doing this and targeting people that follow veteran-owned brands, then I realized these people are like really loyal and supportive and love everything like Americans. So then I kind of rebranded the company to Loudmouth Patriot Swimwear, and then the Patriot shades go a lot better.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that sounds great.
And I partnered with one of my best friends is Kyle Maynard. So Kyle is he was born a quadruple amputee, but then he became a champion wrestler, jiu-jitsu fighter. He fought MMA, so no arms and legs, and he fought able-bodied people in a cage.
He's incredible. I think I've seen this video of him climbing a mountain at some point. It just blows my mind.
He was actually like Nike's main commercial for the Olympics.
Yep.
Yeah, so he was climbing on Mammoth Mountain for that. And it was voted on like most inspirational commercial in the Olympics. He's climbed Kilimanjaro, climbed Mount Aconcagua, like 23,000 feet, highest peak of the Andes Mountains, just bear crawled all the way to the top.
And, damn. It's incredible. That's a great guy, great partner. So what are you guys doing now? What's the future of Loudmouth Patriot? And by the way, all these links to your social media, your website, you know, are all in this description too. So if you guys want to see what Jeff Gumm is all about, check out his websites in the description.
So Kyle's passion actually became like videography and photography probably back in March, and he's a super fast learner. So I ended up getting out of the Navy June 26th, and then we've been traveling since then. So we went to Tokyo, to Barcelona, to Croatia, did another yacht week, like sailing the Adriatic Sea with a ton of friends, went to Mykonos and Israel, and just been using traveling to create like really amazing content for the brand. And he's
good
been putting different like videos together and photos. And so it's kind of, we've diversified what we're like working on. I'm really learning how to use all the, you know, the technology and Amazon platform. I made the website myself using Shopify.
Yeah. I have a Shopify website. Nice. That was awesome. That was a great platform. Yeah.
And then he's really focused on like the photography and Lightroom and Photoshop and Adobe Premiere. I've been going forward with that. And so we're kind of using like our travels to make the content, which we use for like all our marketing and everything there. So it's kind of incredible with technology these days. All you need is a internet connection and your laptop and your cameras, and you can be putting everything together. So it's been like a really cool, like 2 months since we got out. And then two of my other friends, they were also Honor Foundation alumni, and they founded an incredible organization called One More Wave. And they make adaptive surfboards for like wounded seals and wounded veterans.
Cool.
And so that these guys, you know, even though if they've lost limbs or whatever, they can do ocean therapy and be in the water. And also like doing events around that where they can be safe and have guys like helping push them or whatever. And it's kind of perfect between me being a seal and a veteran and Kyle being an adaptive athlete. We're very connected to that. And also it's just awesome supporting SEALs and Honor Foundation alumni.
Yeah.
So 10% of our like profits are going to be going to them to make more adaptive surfboards and everything.
Oh, that's really neat. That's really neat. So the I've noticed on your social media, Loudmouth Patriot on Instagram, you had Jeff Aguiar on your
Mitch Aguiar.
Yeah. Oh, Mitch. Yeah. Sorry.
Yep.
He's got a great following, great fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
And a great story. I may have to have him on this as well.
You have
to pass a word on it. But he's
an incredible guy.
Yeah, great athlete. Yeah. I love his before and after picture. I think that's on your page even.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he's been wearing my Sunga all the time. He just did his last MMA fight wearing my Sunga for it, and came out to like a hysterical song. And then I think he beat his guy in like under a minute. So I was just like, you know, took some of those photos. I'm like, look what wearing a Sunga will do for you. You know? And, he was actually my counterpart on the East Coast. So he like ran all the combatives on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
I did it for the West Coast, and, we're actually in buds, around the same time, knew each other a little bit there. But then we just became like really close friends probably about a year ago. And we actually did a a really cool trek. We walked 240 miles across Greece, and it was for the Navy, like raised money for the Navy SEAL Foundation and Glenn Doherty Foundation. And Kyle did it with us as well. He had a hand bike, so it was about 30 miles a day for 8 days, and was able to raise a bunch of money for SEAL Foundation and Glenn Doherty Foundation. So that was really
Really awesome. That's really awesome. Yeah.
Definitely, I never want to walk anywhere again after I finished that. But it was for an awesome cause, and there was really like an incredible team of people doing it. And,
that's really cool.
You know, we retraced the steps of King Leonidas and the 300 Spartans as they walked from Sparta all the way to Thermopylae.
Isn't that incredible? So that was warfare back then, that you just had to walk everywhere. Oh, yeah. Incredible.
And yeah, and they must have done it, you know, before there was really roads or anything either. So it's carrying their shields and everything else and armor. So,
impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive. Well, very impressive story. I appreciate you taking the time to share it. Is there any final words, whether it's words of inspiration or tell us a little about what's the future for Jeff Gum? We'd all like to hear it. So,
yeah, I'll mention one thing that's pretty cool as well. It's really cool doing this podcast with you, because I can't remember if it was my junior or senior year when your Fight Science episode came out. And I was like, that's exactly why I want to be a SEAL, you know? Like, I was like, that. I remember my girlfriend at the time, I like had her recorded. I think I had something else going on right when it was playing. But I'm like, oh, what was it like? And she's like, yeah, basically it's saying that SEALs are superhuman. Like, everybody else got hypothermia in like 10 or 15 minutes, and this guy's body temperature went up for about an hour. So pretty cool doing this podcast with you. You
know, oh, that's cool. Well, thank you. That's funny. Yeah. That was a fun show. I could have done much worse in that show. I was glad I performed well. So that's pretty cool. Well, thank you very much, Jeff Gum. This has been an awesome story. Thanks for your service and your continued service to everybody, as well as making great products for, you know, to help represent what we all do. And that's just live life well, live life hard, and, you know, live to fight another day. So
absolutely. Yeah.
All right, man.
Well, thank you for having me. It was really cool.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we will be back with another two through and after. Just keep on a lookout for the YouTube channel. And, you know, I'm not sure who's going to be on next. We got a couple of different guys in the hopper, so stay tuned. Take care, awesome. Everybody.